Excuse me. This is the prologue, verses 1 through 3. And we have the chain of command in transmission. Verse 1. There's always a chain of command. Figure out what it is. Acclimate to it. We have several a believer might have to acclimate to. The government. Your job. Your marriage. The local church, etc. Chain of command. God always goes with chain of command. There's a chain of command within the Godhead. Pointed that out in the doctrine of prayer. Each one has a role to play. Yeah, it's a great mystery, but it still is what it is. The prologue, chain of command. The revelation of Jesus Christ. There is no definite article. A revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation, as noted, is apokalypsis. It means a disclosure as an action, generally used of what God discloses, His plan. It's of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Old Testament is Joshua. And it means... Joshua's name means Yahweh saves. And the genitive of Christ, strictly one who has been anointed. E.g., for the task, the Old Testament Messiah is the counterpart. Okay, a revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his bondservants. See, here's the steps. Which... The antecedent is revelation, which God gave, aorist indicative of didomai, gave him, autos, the reference there to that pronoun is Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show, God here is God the Father, to demonstrate, to show, aorist infinitive, agnumi means to show or demonstrate, point out, exhibit to his bondservants. Plural, here slave, doulos, used of one who serves in obedience to another's will. His. The things which must soon take place. The things, plural, which must... The present indicative of the verb must, D-E-I, as expressing necessity, compulsion, or inevitability. Here is expressing the inevitability of Bible prophecy. Come, aorist infinitive, genomai, to come, hear of events which come about, happen, and soon is the noun toxos. This is, we have tachometer, tachos, it means speed. Without delay, which must take place, which must soon, excuse me, will take soon. The preposition means without delay, here interpretively, without undue delay. And he sent and communicated it by his angel, to his bondservant, John. And he sent... the aorist active indicative of semino means to signify, indicate, here of making something clear. And he sent and communicated. The sent is the aorist participle apostello, to send forth. In relation to the sender, send with a commission, send with authority, send for a purpose. The subject is God who commissioned an angel. that he sent. Angelos, with a definite article, through an angel. Dia, through an angel. Translated by, through an angel. To his bondservant, singular, slave, bondservant, doulos, his, and the proper noun, John. Verses 1 through 3 constitute a prologue, or an intro, to the book. The Gospel of John and 1 John also have prologues. The first three words in the Greek text provide us with the title to the book. The term revelation means as indicating, means as disclosing of information not previously known. The term appears without the definite article, anarthros, indicating the quality of this apocalypse. This book arose in an environment in which various fake or spurious apocalyptic writings circulated purporting to be divinely inspired. 6. This is probably why the book was looked upon with suspicion by the church for some time, because all this other junk was out there. They had fake gospels out there, a gospel of Peter. They had various kinds of books that people just, you know, like they do today, made up. They were not inspired at all, and therefore evil. The words of Jesus Christ indicate that the book is about the person of Jesus Christ. It focuses on him. He's the central character, clearly. The glorified God-man with respect to his present and future glory. It is a revelation of truth about Christ himself as he relates to the plan, the unfolding plan of the Father. The revelation of truth is about Christ himself. That is a disclosure of future events, culminating in his second coming, when Christ will be fully revealed to the nations. 9. Also, these words of Jesus Christ indicate that this revelation comes from Christ, hence we have a plenary genitive. The common title of the book, The Revelation of John, merely identifies the human author. 11. The subject is a revelation of Jesus Christ, described in this verse as given by God the Father to Jesus Christ the Son, and then revealed to his servant by angelic mediation. The revelation of information from the Father to the Son is also mentioned in John 3, 34 and 35, 5, 20 through 24, 7, 16, 8, 28, 12, 49, 14, 10, 24, 16, 15, and 17, 8. The substance of the revelation is described as things which must soon or quickly take place. The phrase or expression soon, preposition with the word, indicates the scope of the prophecy will soon unfold or happen without unnecessary delay. The idea is that all the details will soon occur, but that when it does, it will be certain in every respect. The adverb, taku, is translated quickly 6 times in Revelation. 2:16, 3:11, 11:14, 22:7, and 12 and 20. Sometimes the nuance of the expression is that the occurrence will happen fast, as in Luke 18:8, Acts 2:7, 12:7, and 22:18. And sometimes it means that which will occur soon, as in Acts 25:4, 1 Timothy 3:14, and Revelation 22:6. Here it seems best to take the expression as translated in the New American Standard, soon. Once the things are set in motion, once the process on the timeline is set in motion, each succeeding event will happen without delay. No hiccups, no delays, none of it. It will all occur. Now, of course, you know that this revelation includes the entire church age as well. So the minute this was delivered, the process was ongoing. They were in the waning moments of the first, the Ephesian era, the apostolic era. That was it was in the waning moments towards the very dead end of the apostolic era. And then everything from that point forward, the process is taking place. No delays, anything like that. So that once these things are set in motion, each succeeding event will happen without delay. Yes, there's a time for each of them to occur on this timeline, but one follows the other. The channel through which the revelation comes from John to John, from Christ to John, is by his angel. Now, this, I won't be able to explain this exactly, but the angel that was chosen here transmitted this information to John under unusual circumstances. An angel could appear to someone in the Old Testament face to face and talk to him, or in the New Testament. Like the angel appeared to Mary, introducing her to the prospect of being the bearer of the Messiah. And that was external to her, and here's Gabriel. This one, John is disconnected from his immediate environment, whatever's going on around him. He's not looking around at his immediate environment, whether it's one extended session or it was broke up, I don't know. I lean towards it was one uninterrupted session, like you went to a movie. And you saw each of the things, and in it we will see that John interacts with the whole thing. But it's all between his ears. His body isn't doing anything. It only appears to be. All the scenery in heaven will be scenery that isn't set up yet like it will be then. You know, the Father handed him a scroll with seven seals, and each seal being opened, and then the process goes forth on earth, and then when that's completed, the next seal, and so forth. So the channel is by his angel. The body of information contained in the book was to be communicated or signified in this fashion. It has been suggested that the angel was Gabriel. We can't be super dogmatic about it, but he is the preeminent angel and was definitely involved in the prophetic information given in the book of Daniel. We also find him at the birth of Christ. And the announcement to Mary in Luke 1 and following. It was Gabriel. So I'll assume it's Gabriel. That John should be called a bondslave is not unusual, and that this was a term used in reference to the other apostles in the New Testament, all those verses, where Paul uses it, and Peter, and Jude. Finally, the information contained in this book is for the education of all believers, as seen in the phrase, to show to his bondservants. That's the church. This is information for the body of Christ. It's for all of us, through time. Then John gives his own input here in verse 2, who testified to the word of God. Who testified. To testify means, of course, like in a courtroom, to bear witness. Aorist indicative, martyreo. Who testify, who bore witness to the word of God. So this establishes this book that is on the same level with any other part of the Word of God. And to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. And to the martyria testimony of Jesus Christ, we have a correlative adjective, hosos, in such an amount as, or everything that, whatever, to all that he saw. Aorist indicative, I don't. This is the verb to see, as taking note of something by visual observation. So again, this, as I said, to belabor it, this was not something external to John, like you're external to me. This was all the theater of the mind and the human spirit that was revealed to John. One, in this second verse of the prologue, John affirms that he has faithfully communicated what he saw to posterity. He hasn't withheld anything, and he hasn't added anything. That's my mandate, and I've always tried to subscribe to it. If I got something wrong, I corrected it. If I got a further insight, I made it clear. So, allowances are made for that, but in this case, he's under the ministry of the Holy Spirit and everything, so that he wouldn't be allowed to make any mistakes. We can make honest mistakes, but he was protected from that, of course, as with all writers of Scripture. See doctrine of verbal plenary inspiration. He has included all that he has witnessed to, leaving out nothing. It all gets put down. Whether he understood it or not, it doesn't matter. And I'm sure some of it he couldn't have understood some of it. There was no Catholic Church. There was no United States of America. And other things that were not in place. Point three, he also makes it clear that what he has left for posterity is the Word of God. We might add the living Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It's not just some ancient document. It is alive and powerful. It all is in place and functioning. It comes from God. So anything you know or anything you apply, this is the Word of God. This and this alone he bore witness to. That's what we are. That's what I am. I bear witness to doctrine, whatever the doctrine, whatever the subject matter might be. Bear witness to it. And that's where the great blessing and reward will ultimately come. The only way he could have done this is to have communicated the things he saw via writing, which he was commanded to do so in verse 11. Now write it down. So it's a two-step process. He goes through the whole thing, and then he has to be under the ministry of the Holy Spirit for perfect recall of every detail and write it down. That's supernatural, because I don't care what kind of a mind a person has, photographic memory or not, to get everything down, every word, every phrase, without any error over what you went through the first time, required the ministry of the Holy Spirit for perfect, perfect recall. That's how the Word of God has been transmitted down to us. Point six, the revelation is not only the Word of God, but is also called the testimony of Jesus Christ. The witness of Jesus Christ. In the process of making this book available, God the Son faithfully transmitted its contents to an angel, who in turn revealed it to the apostle, who in turn bore faithful witness to all that he saw. So you can see the full circle here and cycle of this process that John went through out there on that island. How long did it take? I don't know. How long does it take you to read it? I'm not talking about speed reading. I mean, just read through it like you would anything. How long does it take you to read it? But John was interacting at certain points, so that takes some time. And so forth. So the integrity of Christ and the integrity of John is underscored here. John was the human eyewitness who faithfully penned all that he heard and saw under the supervision of God the Holy Spirit. 10. John's integrity as a servant of God is unimpeachable. He was one of those few that only what he knew to be true would he communicate. Hold back nothing. Don't distort anything. The whole thing. Don't add anything. None of that stuff. That's all inappropriate when it comes to dealing faithfully with God's word. This is the ultimate mark of all who aspire to communicate Bible doctrine under their spiritual gift. They are not going to add or subtract or distort anything. And if they've got something wrong, don't know something, as a process of spiritual growth like I have over the years of my ministry, figured some things out. Okay, that's fine. Nobody was harmed. We all moved forward. And here's something new. Here's something old. Here's something corrected. And that's what we did. That's what I'm committed to. Come what may. I can't worry about how people are going to react to it. Some go with it, but most react. If doctrine is pointed out to you about something that you're failing to apply in, you're supposed to pause and stop and bury your pride. And, you know, use the word repent, change your mind. You don't have to go through a big action. You just, oh, okay, yeah, I got off track on that. It can happen to anybody that you make the necessary corrections for your spiritual well-being. The prologue then bears witness to the nature of the subject matter, as well as the chain of command involved in the transmission of this book. Revelation of Jesus Christ. This invaluable book comes to us from God the Father, through God the Son, through a commissioned angel, and finally, through an apostle who visually experienced its contents, and then in that second half wrote it down for the benefit of believers living from that point forward in history, and throw it out there and see what happens. It's all going to be fulfilled. Just put it out before the Christian world, the world. Okay, I'll pick up with verse 3 next time. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.